Hello and a very warm welcome to Spizness, the sports business podcast. My name is Kim Schulze and I regularly have the honor of talking to special personalities from the sporting good industry. We look at the sports and outdoor market at relevant content through the eyes of industry experts. Today, I'm looking really forward for my meeting with Greg Nievenhaus. Hello, dear Greg.
Hello, good afternoon, Kim.
The people I invite stand out because they have a special radiance for our industry. They are either very innovative or different thinking, particularly motivating or impressive by the view of things. Dear Greg, would you like to introduce yourself? In our prep call, you had so many different faces and levels and whatever makes you tick. So it would be great to listen for the next 35 to 40 minutes after a short intro from yourself. Who are you?
Yes, hi, Kim. Thank you for the opportunity to talk. I'm looking forward to it. And yes, who am I? My name is Greg. I was born in Canada. I grew up in the US with a French mother and a Dutch father. I currently live in the UK and I work in Switzerland and my father lives in China. So I'm, you know, a bit from everywhere and nowhere, as they say. Yeah. And who am I? I would say I'm a number of things. I guess most importantly, I'm probably a husband and father of five beautiful children. I'm sure we'll come back to that later. I am currently the chairman and also temporarily the CEO of Mammut. And I am an adventurer. So I just enjoy nature, mountains, adventure, competition, performance. And I tend to get carried away a bit by those things as well. So I guess in very short words, that's who I am.
In very short words, and all the fields of play, what you shared up front are a deeper look worth. But maybe we start with the current date. So today is the 20th of May, 2022, and it's a very special day and moment for you and for our industry, I guess, as well. You announced some minutes ago that you will be leaving your current job as the CEO, and you mentioned an interim CEO of Mammut. And the conversation today was like not really a surprise, I guess, for those who know your work, but I'm really respecting this day and the timetable. So how do you feel today?
Yeah, I feel really good. Thank you. I feel very excited. And of course, I've known about this for a while and been looking forward to this moment. And I really believe that with the appointment of Heiko Schäfer as the new CEO for Mammut, it's a huge step forward for the company. And I'm very proud to be part of the journey of Mammut and also very much looking forward to continue working with him as chairman of the board. So for me, it's a very joyful day. And you know, being completely honest, I will also miss my current intensity of involvement at Mammut because there are so many amazing people in the company, and it's just a brilliant journey and opportunity that I've really enjoyed kind of fully emerging myself into in the last 9 months.
And I guess this is the most important, like I'm so curious because I of course followed some bits and pieces of your journey, but maybe you can bring us into your how you feel right now and how your mindset is on your personal journey with Mammut, how it started and what were the main pillars and key moments for you?
Yeah, I think that journey goes way back. I mean, nowhere as near as Mammut goes back because it's 160 years and Mammut was founded. So it has a much, much richer history and also much more interesting than mine. But my journey with Mammut probably started in the late 1990s when I started to get into ski mountaineering and mountaineering. And I owned a jacket, and I was just so proud to have a three-layer Gore-Tex jacket from Mammut. And I've stayed a fan ever since. And when I was CEO at Bever, I worked, which is a Dutch outdoor retailer, I worked closely with Mammut, and I remember at some point I got my kids the Mammut backpack, the tiny backpack, which they wore, and actually now my younger children also wear that backpack very, very proudly. So the journey for a long time is, you know, firstly was personal, then professional with Baver, and now actually being part of that team and in Mammut is just an amazing privilege. And when Telemos Capital, the current shareholders of Mammut, approached me to join them in looking at the investment opportunity of Mammut in late 2020, I was very excited, and it quickly became clear that, you know, it's such an amazing brand with such passionate people and great products, mm-hmm. but at the same time, a lot of opportunities to improve the way of working, and therefore a lot of improvement potential. So, that's where I am. And the last 9 months have been very intense, you know, also just kind of also, you know, from a macro point of view, the world has been very volatile, supply chain is very volatile. COVID has hit, and I live in the UK, so I couldn't get to the office for a number of months. So that was also challenging at times, but overall, extremely rewarding. And I'm proud of, you know, everything that the team has achieved, and very excited to start working more intensely with Heiko in the coming months.
And seeing the, as you said, the huge, like, not only challenging situations, but also the huge moments of change, where maybe we can like sum it up in terms of how do you assess the market and the market situation you learned to know when you got to Mammut, and what influenced your work from the inside out. So if you mention like the teams you were working with and the great personalities, and like how did you, where are the key focus points when you look back now on the last 9 months?
Yeah, I think you started talking about the market situation.
Yes.
I think that on the one side, we are very gifted and lucky to be in the outdoor sector. And then especially after the pandemic, people realized how important it is to go outside and be active and exercise, and, you know, being locked in a home suddenly makes you realize how amazing it is to have the opportunity to go outside and go for a walk or for a run or for a bike ride or whatever. So as soon as you're not able to do this any longer, you realize how critical this right or this privilege is in life. So this is, of course, fueled huge demand in the outdoor market, which has been very difficult to supply in terms of products, and supply chains have been very stressed. And I won't go into the details because most people will be very well aware of this. But it's also been a very challenging time from that point of view, as, you know, people, the demand is so high, and it's been very difficult to get the products to our customers on time. I think at the same time, for me, the bottom line on Mammut is kind of what I shared, is that, you know, there's a few things that are very difficult to achieve as a company. And number one is to have such a powerful brand. Number two is to have so passionate people who work for them and are so proud of the brand and the company they work for. And three is to have such a good reputation and amazing products. And those are things that, you know, most companies dream of having. And Mammut, I think, has had these elements for a big part of those 160 years. At the same time, I feel like there is a much bigger opportunity for Mammut than the size it currently has and also the profitability it currently has. As in, if you look at the results, I think they don't represent the potential that Mammut has. And that was, for me, one of the main motivators to be part of this journey. As I say, I really believe that we can make a much bigger difference as Mammut, and, you know, engage with a much wider audience of people to show them the love of the mountains and adventure, while also reestablishing our position as a leading mountain brand. I think those things are for me very important.
Can you share facts and figures on that? So what changed in maybe the aspect of 2 years or 1 year, whatever you can share as insights? Is that something which is obvious already?
Yes, I think so. Well, I think in the recent years, and I'd speak maybe the last 5 years or so, I think there has been times when the market has questioned Mammut's commitment to being a leading mountain brand, and that's where it's come from. and I can understand why. And that was the first thing that I said when coming in is, you know, Mammut is known for being Swiss, standing for quality, standing for safety, standing for performance. And the only way forward for me is to cherish this core and strengthen it before you do anything else. So there's no point in trying to be a lifestyle brand or a fashion brand, because that's not who we are. And that's not the brand stretch that Mammut has. So for us, it's really about strengthening our positioning in climbing and mountaineering, in ski touring. And we are seeing also that, you know, to be able to be relevant for also a younger consumer today and a more female audience, that one of the trends is about being faster and lighter. And that's one of the trends that we've, you know, I think we are adopting, and we will see kind of very meaningful innovation into the collection next year, which kind of build on this trend of faster and lighter. And that's all with the idea that we need to cement our position as a leading mountain brand. And that's where our heritage comes from Switzerland, which is probably, you know, one of the most iconic mountain countries in the world. Definitely. And we are very proud to do this. And at the same time, I do believe there's an opportunity for us to target a wider audience, but it's only after we have really done an amazing job at being that mountain brand. And then it's about being more inclusive, and probably sometimes a bit less serious and a bit more fun, to also target people who don't necessarily have the ambition to climb 4,000 meter peaks.
This is interesting, because we already had the answer to my next question regarding consumer behavior, because if we see, and you introduced yourself already with the things you do and you love, you are a skier, an ultra runner, a ski racer, so you are also part of the consumer group of your own brand. And maybe you can give us a short intro back to your professional leadership roles, which were like,
sure.
This is something important to share, to understand, and then maybe in the next step, facts and figures on Mammut.
Yeah, absolutely. So at university, I went to do applied physics, because I realized that in the Netherlands was one of the most hardest studies, and I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I thought, let's just go and do something hard, and I might learn something. And I like to challenge myself, and I did with that choice. And then I did an internship at some point with an oil company, and I won't mention the name. But this was a very important lesson for me, is that the bureaucracy and the extremely slow pace of change and business was immediately for me clear that, number one, I do not want to work in an environment where bureaucracy plays an important role. And number two, I cannot work for a company where I really don't believe in the purpose and the reason to exist of that company. Then I joined a strategy consultant, OC&C, and I had a great time there for 7 years, but realized I want to be not only giving the advice, but actually delivering it. Because one thing I learned, very simply said, is that you're better off doing a good execution on a medium plan than doing medium execution on a good plan. The execution is much more important than the idea itself. So then I joined Bever, which is the leading outdoor retailer in the Netherlands. And I was there for 5 years, and I had an amazing time. And after that, I joined Cotswold Outdoor and Snow and Rock, which was also part of the Cycle Surgery and Runner's Need group in the UK, just after the acquisition. And it was also a great time, but much tougher, in the sense that the market was much harder, the integration was tough. But it really told me that, you know, life is so short. So why spend so much time in the office if you're not doing something you really love? Therefore, that's why I feel so privileged to be at Mammut now, because I love the mountains. I love the products we make. And this brings, you know, two or three extra layers of commitment and passion to what you do, which I really believe also translates to the performance you're able to give to a company, and definitely also the pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Seeing your roles in retail, you mentioned already being the CEO for Bever for 5 years, and afterwards with Cotswold, and you had a professional way on changing retail and seeing this for in the eyes, as I said, industry expert, being outdoor industry, like pushing in architects, what kind of changes do you see towards consumer behavior? And not only product-wise, as you already mentioned, like lighter and other materials, but how is the behavior changing if it comes to retail, and what are your recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, there's a lot of things to mention and talk about. But if I select a few, I think, I mean, obviously you cannot not talk about digital. It's incredible what has happened in 2 years' time with COVID. So of course, any brand, any retailer needs to take digital very, very seriously. And it's very easy to say, but I still think a lot of companies struggle to execute this. I think even at Mammut, we've had our challenges on digital, and I think there's a long way to go. So you need to be patient to make the right investments, hire the right people, but also really support this from the top. You know, digital change and transformation only happens if it's fully supported at C-level and from the CEO, because it always, you know, there's always an element of disruption and change that will touch other parts of the business, and you need to accept and embrace this. So that would be number one. Two, I think, is something that I had the benefit from my retail side, is to have a type of customer obsession. But if you're not truly motivated intrinsically by what your customer is thinking and saying and doing, it's very difficult to deliver a great job. And I think many companies are still managed much more inside out than outside in, where it's more about what we think and how we see the world and what is happening. But in the end, the only thing that really matters is what customers are doing and saying. And I think therefore the focus on customer insights and data and being reactive and being agile and being quick to respond is a very important skill nowadays. And again, very easily said, but not so easy to execute on. And I think this is also one of the challenges that Mammut has had over the past year, is that it has not been that agile company, but it's been a big company. You know, I said, you know, 250 million sales. I mean, it's big. It's nowhere near some of our competitors, but it's still big, and sometimes too slow and too complex. And if we can simplify the business model so that we can be more reactive and more responsive to what our customers need, I do think that will give us an incredible advantage.
This is so heavily important to understand in the roles, and you're giving the perfect bridge to leadership. You said about yourself, you are very competitive, sometimes obsessive, and still grounded and very spiritual. So the overall like universe, you can take use of, or you can like make it sounding in your leadership, seems to be not only impressive but also very interesting to share the most important pillars or inspirations for other business makers. So can you share some, you already did some pain points on working for Mammut, but maybe your complete, like what is important for other business makers to consider out of your glasses or out of your mindset? What do you recommend? And maybe also recommend your successor regarding Mammut, Heiko Schäfer.
Well, I think if I share, I think what has been important for me, which I think applies to any situation in leadership, is that first of all, it's around focus, is that you can only do so many things. And I think this has typically been a challenge for Mammut, is that there's been so many ideas, and we're present in apparel and footwear and equipment, and we're all over the world and many different channels. And we also have kind of side businesses. But focus really is the key word to acceleration of growth and transformation. So that's the first one. Two, I think, is you can cherish the workforce and your colleagues by listening to them. I mean, they're on the ground every day speaking to customers. And I think it is good to have top-down leadership in the sense that you need to take decisions and stick to them and move forward. But at the same time, it's incredibly important to listen to your people. And they often have so many amazing ideas that will never really get to the C-level because they're afraid, or there's not really the channel or whatever. So that's very important. And at the second time, just the power of listening to people is also striking. As in, if you give people the attention, and they feel empowered, and they are able to do so much more for the company. So those.
Hey, this is a commercial. Do you know what Deuter, Ortovox, Atomic Bergans, DeWalt, Sport 2000, Bechley, Sportler, Schuster, and Globetrotter, plus several other outdoor brands have in common? They are outdoor enthusiasts, yes, of course. And they work together with the Outra ecosystem, which is a game changer for brands and retailers. The Outra tools for data exchange and data analysis enable a flow of sales like you've never experienced before. With Outra, where to buy, consumers can directly see on a brand's website in which stores a product is available. With the Outra Data and Image Hub, brands and retailers can finally exchange product data and images efficiently. Interested in testing the Data and Image Hub? Take the opportunity and request a free demo of the with your brand-specific data. It pays you back quickly. The offer is valid until Outdoor by ISPO in June 2024. Sign up for this ecosystem and become a major player in outdoor bike and sports industry. Contact and information at outra.com with a double T.
That would be my top two.
And are there any specific examples from the last month with Mammut you want to share?
Sure. I think when I stepped in September, that was only 3 months after the change of ownership. And of course, it involved a change of leadership. And after I joined, I had to make some more changes in leadership. So it was definitely a period of high uncertainty for Mammut, especially also because Mammut had been for sale for quite a long time. The process took for long. So there was a lot of uncertainty within the people. And I think just the fact of being very transparent and honest in the communication, and having a frequent communication, but also organizing what I call listening sessions, is every week I would spend at least an hour to sit down with people from all different ranks and geographies and just talk to them and tell me about what's good and what's difficult and what's not working. And you learn so different perspectives than if you just speak to your direct reports, because they're looking at Mammut from a different angle. They are speaking to the customers. They are just, you know, and you get such a different perspective that allows you to take a step back and really kind of put into perspective what you're doing yourself. So I think that has been extremely useful for me as an example.
Thanks for sharing, Greg. And the most impressive thing when we started our upfront communication and conversation was that there are certain pillars in your life which really make you think different and which brought you to a different, let's say, perspective on personalities, on listening, and on life-changing moments. Is that something where you can share, because that's still belonging to your life path? You had some different situations in your life, and they definitely influence what you're doing and what's important in life. This is what you shared, so maybe you can...
Yes. I mean, there's quite a few moments where I could pick off, but I think two come to mind. One is kind of in the early 2000s. I was still at university and I was doing more and more mountaineering. And we, in 2003, with a number of friends, I went to Nepal to climb and ski down a number of 6,000 meter peaks. And it was eye-opening for me, and I loved it. And when I came back, the only thing I could think about is, I want to go back and I want to go higher. And with one of my best friends, Joost, we decided to plan for an expedition to climb and ski down an 8,000-meter peak. And in this, we would be the first Dutchman. And, you know, there had only been like 20 people who had ever skied from a summit of an 8,000-meter peak. And when we announced this, we were declared crazy. By my parents, his parents, our friends, but also a lot of prominent people in the climbing industry who just said, you know, they're young, they're not experienced, they can't do this. And funnily enough, that was exactly the motivation I needed to decide for myself. This is the project and we're going to do it. And that's a bit, you know, I think a strength of mine and also a weakness is that I can get quite obsessive. In this case, I did get quite obsessive. And in the end, we pulled it off. And it's a lifelong memory, of course, and many, many learnings on that journey, which mainly are around, you know, teamwork, perseverance, and that hard work pays off. And I think kind of the way I often say it is that if my mind can believe it, and my heart can conceive it, then I can achieve it. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And that's also, you know, doing a lot of ultra marathons like the UTMB. That's usually the mental game you're playing. And if you really believe you can do it and your heart is in it, then you really can achieve it. And it sounds like a cliche, but it's definitely one of the main lessons of my life.
You proved it.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I've proven it, but, you know, I've also been defeated. So it's not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like there's only successes in life. There are also failures, but these are also very important. But I think if you don't really try, you shouldn't also expect to achieve greatness. Right? It's really around how big is the motivation and the dedication. I think the second life lesson is more recent. In 2019, so we had three children at the time, and they are now 12, 10, and 8. And to our surprise, my wife Leonie got pregnant, and it turned out to be twins. And they were born in January 2019. And 10 days before the birth, my wife became very ill. I had a neurological disease, and both her arms were paralyzed, and she was in extreme pain. And then 10 days later, our twins, Mika and Nathaniel, were born 3 months early. And Nathaniel was 850 grams. So they're very premature. They were in intensive care for 2.5 months. And then they came home and they were on oxygen bottles. And after coming home, they were readmitted to hospital, you know, more than 15 times and a number of times to intensive care where it was also very, very close. And I decided to stop working for a year and a half and just support the family. And this was definitely by far the most difficult period in my life. But if I look back, it may sound like a cliche, but I'm extremely grateful because it taught me that, you know, a number of things. But number one, it's so easy to forget what really matters in life. And if you have a healthy family, there's a very, very big distance between that and the number two in life. It's all about the health and love of your close ones. And so that was one. Two is I realized how much happens at home and what you miss when you're away working all the time. And this was a very precious lesson that I learned. And, you know, part of the reason why I decided, although I love Mammoet, I think that for me and my family at the moment, me continuing to be the CEO and being full-time in Switzerland is not the right choice because I have twins who are now 3 years old and I want to be around them and I believe they deserve to be around me. And I love my work and I love work in general, but I do think in the end there are more important things. And I don't think I would have made the same choices if I had not had this experience.
Thank you for sharing. And it's the strength which come out of such situations is, as you said, either breaking or building up more motivation and bringing private life and business life together because you have the same sources for being honest and listening.
Yes, and I think that, I mean, now it sounds very easy, right? And people will hear it and maybe say like, yeah, but how can it be so easy? And I can tell you and all the listeners, it was everything but easy. And at the time, I didn't see how I could grow over this. I didn't see, you know, I was also, when I stopped working, I also had a lot of financial stress. We couldn't pay our rent. We were thinking about moving a house, but I didn't have a job. So even kind of getting a rental contract would be difficult. So it was a lot of things kind of suddenly becoming very, very difficult. And I felt like everything was against me, not generally people, but just luck in general. And not long after that, my mother passed away. And it also felt like, okay, you know, something is really against me, but you know, if you keep belief and positivity, at some point faith changed. And if I look back now, it feels like such a long time ago that I was in this situation, and I feel so blessed with what I have now. And I don't think I would feel this appreciation for what I have if I hadn't gone through this period.
And without looking at any cliches, I think this is exactly what comes up if you do a lot of things in life and do a lot of like energy resourcing systems. It all comes to family and leadership and sports and everything. Can you share what your main source were at that time?
Sorry, the source for what?
For your strength.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is I don't know. I have no idea where it came from. But I do believe that every human being has a very kind of instinctual trait for survival. And I think somehow for me that survival is also about trying to be the best I can. And when I was young, I was swimming a lot, and I always wanted to be the best, and it didn't really matter what happened in the day as long as I would win in the pool after school. That wasn't I just got a very strong motivation and satisfaction from that. That is, has translated to many areas, of course, in sports, but also in work. But that trait also has pitfalls, right? Because in the end, I've done a lot of individual sports. I've also done a lot of team sports. But in business, it's not about putting yourself forward. It's about actually, especially in the CEO role, it's about putting the team forward and the people forward. And that definitely has been a learning journey. That's something that I did not master at all when I was starting my journey at Bayer. And, you know, many mistakes further and lessons further, I feel like I've improved. But still a long way to go.
Thanks for sharing, Greg. So what I do at the like ending of the podcast is always a short question and answer round. So be prepared. There's one question in between, which more or less you answered already, but maybe bringing it to the point for our industry, and every word you say is like love outdoors, love doing exercises and getting yourself motivated and active. But what can we do for motivation to get people more outside and get motivation on? What can we share as for business and for family to make sure that people go back to personal motivation of activation?
I think it's a great question. And I think, fortunately, I think the world has improved a lot in the last 2 years from that perspective, that people have realized how important it is to go out in nature and be active. So I do see a strong improvement. I think what we can do better is continue to inspire and show the benefits of being active, and not only from a health point of view, but also indirectly just from a happiness point of view. You know, I have my biggest smiles, and I see the biggest smiles when I see people outdoor, either, you know, trying to climb a mountain or just walking the dog with their family. And that I find very exciting. And I think it can be contagious if we all do the same.
Good thing on positivity and happiness and encouraging all of us to stay authentic, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there are some questions under the headline, how could this happen to me? So it could be whether positive or challenging. Just some questions and like short answers, because you already shared so much of your personality, and maybe there are some whatever good or funny or encouraging stories you want to share. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I think so. I hope so.
First question is your funniest business moment or your most awkward business moment?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I can't really think of a very awkward moment. And I think I know why. It's because the brain has a, actually, especially my brain has a talent to erase specific moments that I, that are maybe too embarrassing to think of. But actually last week I was in the US and Canada for Mammoth and visited lots of customers. And I think I was in Vermont on Wednesday morning, and I went out for a long run, and relatively long, and I got lost. And somehow in my diary, the name of the hotel was incorrect. So I ended up running to the wrong hotel. And therefore, I missed kind of three quarters of the breakfast meeting that we were supposed to have. So it's probably not the most awkward, but it's definitely the one I remember because it was last week.
Your biggest surprise?
Yeah, that most definitely was in 2018 when I went to see a doctor with my wife and children to have a scan and of my wife's belly. And after about a minute or two, my wife said two, and the echoscopic confirmed yes, two twins. And I could not say a word for 10 minutes. That's the level of shock that I was in, realizing that I would be a father of five, and that we were having twins.
Your most outstanding idea?
Yeah, I think that's maybe also combined to my kind of craziest trip. I think it is maybe this idea that, yes, I can become the first Dutchman to ski from an 8,000-meter peak, because I'm... I mean, I have a strong love for endurance, but I'm not going to say I'm the most talented. But I just had this idea that at the time it was the only thing that mattered for me. And in the end, to be able to pull it off and stand on the summit of Choyu and ski back down is, yeah, it's a moment I'll never forget. And I think that's also, you know, the craziest trip.
Your best deal?
My best deal. Yeah, I think my best deal was probably when I was, I believe, 31. I had very little experience as leading teams and people because I come from a career strategy consulting. I was asked to become CEO of Bayer. And my initial reaction was, are you crazy? Are you going to ask me to do that? And this was on a Friday afternoon, and over the weekend I thought about it, and I thought, well, I'm probably going to fail very fast, and then the damage to the company won't be that big, so why don't I just give it a try, and I'll learn and improve. And that appeared to be the start of an amazing career in the auto industry. So I'm extremely thankful for the opportunity I got, and I did make a lot of mistakes, but somehow in the end I think there were more successes and failures, and it worked out really well. But I think that was a very good deal at that age to become a leader of that type of company.
Your contribution to make the world a little better?
I think it's two things. Number one, it's to raise conscious children who are aware of the world around them. And especially having five, there's a multiplying factor in there that other people may not have. The second one, I think, is in the position I am currently with Mammoth. I think all of us as leaders have a privileged position of power to make a contribution to the world by making our businesses more sustainable. And that's definitely something that I'm very motivated to do.
This goes directly into the next question. Your most inspiring moment, or who and what inspired you in a special and a sustainable way?
The long silence. Let me see if I can come back to that question. Nothing comes to mind immediately.
You already answered the next one in the last question. Your most reliable source, or are there beliefs for your work?
Yeah, I think my most reliable source is my wife, Leonie. Maybe slightly rephrasing it, I'm not sure she's the most reliable, but she's definitely the most valuable source. As in, she talks a lot, so I can't believe everything she says. But she is my creative brain. So when I have a problem or an issue or a concern or a doubt, I will ask her, and she will usually be the one that helps me kind of see it from a different perspective and find a different solution. So Leonie is definitely my most valuable source for personal but also business problems.
What do you want to share what you recently consumed in terms of a book or a podcast or a film?
I mean, from a book, it's not super recent, but I think still one of my favorites is Good to Great, which of course is a famous business book. I think most recently, I think the book around the culture of Netflix, I really, really enjoyed, particularly around kind of creating talent density in a company and providing freedom. I think was very inspiring to hear that.
Thank you very much. And how can people get in touch with you?
I think the best way would be to try and catch me on a mountain. But I think you'd have to have quite a bit of luck as well. So LinkedIn is probably an easier place to get in touch. And I'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Greg. Is there anything you want to share with our audience? As you know, everybody of us can do a little difference. So any closing words from your side on this important day?
Well, I think the main thing came is I want to thank you. You know, we had a first conversation a few weeks ago, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed today's conversation. And I mean, maybe the only thing I'd like to share is, you know, we live in such an extraordinary time. And I think let's make the most of it as human beings. And I think that kind of love and respect and hard work and teamwork can really bring us all to greater heights where we can achieve great things personally as a team, but also collectively as humankind. And I think that's very exciting. So look, being positive, that's what I would say.
Thank you very much, Greg. And I hope your day has a good ending now. And I really enjoyed speaking to you. I'm curious what comes next. Hope to meet soon in person, but stay in contact anyhow. And thanks for your time and sharing all your thoughts.
Thank you very much, Kim. It was a great pleasure.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, if you liked what you hear, so recommend us to all your business buddies and to your friends to make sure that all the great voices, which are part of my podcast, can rule the world. Take care and goodbye.